Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you. Our show and tell this morning is this famous photo taken by the Hubble Space Telescope like 25 years ago. And this is a photo called the Pillars of Creation. These are stars in the in one of the faraway nebulas being formed right there in front of us, those clouds of gas getting ready to coalesce together to become stars. Maybe that process is a little more done by now. This light left that nebula 5,700 years ago and took all that time to get here. We can't see that far, at least in that kind of detail, without a lot of help, amazing help from scientific instruments. I can only see about 4 feet if I look up right here. If I was outside, I'd be able to see like 60 miles or so before the Rayleigh scattering obscures the space out there with that thing we call the sky. I can see less than 60 miles up if it's cloudy or hazy or smoky, as it is increasingly right now. Of course, there's something you can make out even through all of that, about 93 million miles away, but don't look directly at that one. Or if you are worshiping with us by recording, or if you're just tuning in live from the right time zone, maybe you can see like trillions of miles out there, seeing maybe thousands, millions, sometimes even billions, depending on how bright the object is, into the past. But no matter how far you can see, there's always more to see. And there's plenty going on in the universe right now whose light just hasn't reached us yet. It's an amazing, incredible place. There's not much that is more important for the Christian faith than to be amazed. To be amazed at the universe around us, to be amazed at the human beings that we share this life with. Being amazed teaches us how to be amazed at the love of God, the love of God that is far beyond the universe as it is. Today's scripture reading is all about being amazed at God's love, because God's love is so big, and because God's love is for us, right here with us, right in this place, right in that place where you are too. We are made by and for God's love, and we are created to share in God's love. We've been reading from the book of Ephesians for the last couple of weeks, and the narrator of this book, the letter writer, has been speaking about the mystery of Christ that brings all people into God's family. That's a mystery that is way too big to understand, but it is so close that we already know it. That's what kind of mystery we're talking about. Will you join me in a prayer for illumination? Spirit of God, descend upon our hearts. Be poured out on us all, and fill us with prophecies, visions, and dreams of the world made new. Teach us to love you and love our neighbors as we ought to love. Amen. The scripture reading comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, He may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I am very disappointed that we can't be together in worship today. Suspending in-person worship for this week protects anybody from being exposed again by me or being exposed to someone that I exposed when we were in worship together last week. And I may have exposed a number of you last week. I've been grateful to hear from many of you that you've gone and gotten tested and that your tests have come back negative. I'm so grateful for that. We are choosing the more cautious route in response to my positive COVID test this week. The CDC and my doctor both, of course, recommend that I should isolate myself. And in consultation with the presbytery, the session agreed to worship fully virtually this Sunday as we're doing. Now I'm fully vaccinated, and that gives me really minimal concern for my own health. My concern would be for the health of anyone unvaccinated or otherwise medically vulnerable that I might pass this virus to. I understand that vaccinated people are much less likely to infect others, which I'm very grateful for given how many people I know I've had contact with before I learned my positive test results. And I'm very grateful that we were informed of a positive test after Vacation Bible School so that I got this test as a precaution. There's so much peace of mind in knowing either way. So much peace of mind in knowing. And I'm disappointed that I won't be participating in Synod School in person. As I said, I'll be doing that virtually. But I thank God that I can isolate and pretty comfortably and protect others from any unneeded exposures. Now, as we read in the letter to the Ephesians, this is a good week for us to be separated from each other. It kind of brings us into this scripture reading because the narrator of this letter, I remember I told you that the letter is written in Paul's name, although it appears to have been written by a later follower of Paul. The narrator is speaking from prison. We know Paul spent a lot of his ministry in prison. And so the narrator is reflecting on how to proclaim the gospel to people that they couldn't be with, that they couldn't go physically to. The gospel, that's a meaningful word. The gospel is that the Gentiles are included in God's covenant with humanity. That there is no reason that we can't be included in God's covenant with humanity. It's as if there's a whole new creation brought into being in Jesus Christ, with no one excluded from it. that radical inclusion, that gospel of radical inclusion, that creates a lot of tension in the world for the early church. It creates a lot of tension that some religious and political powers just could not tolerate. And so they responded to that tension, the work of bringing people back together again in relationship, that those religious and political powers decided that they would rather just outlaw the church and arrest Christians than have this thing just go on. But you know, it turns out that you can't outlaw the gospel. You can't arrest the love of God. The church continues to grow every time Rome tries to persecute it. So we hear today's scripture reading in the context of prison, a time when the narrator can't come in person and proclaim the gospel. And so he says, "I will pray it for you instead." Notice that this passage is barely addressed to the church in Ephesus. It's really addressed to God as the narrator bends his knees before God and lifts up this prayer to God, whom Jesus taught us to call Father, and invited us into that relationship with God as his own siblings. And so this cosmic family becomes this model for every kind of family, including our human families, that we know don't live all the way up to that, but we know what we are called to. The narrator prays that the strength of the Holy Spirit and the love of Christ might live inside us, that our minds might know the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of the love of God. He's literally asking God to do the impossible, to help us know the unknowable love of Christ, asking that somehow our limited, finite human lives can contain the fullness of God. And that prayer only makes sense, that blessing only makes sense, when it's coming from someone who can know the boundless love of God from the confines of a jail cell. It seems impossible. It seems impossible, except that the boundless love of God comes right to us. The creator of the universe enters into this itty-bitty living space of one human life. God comes right to us in order that we might know God in Jesus Christ, in order that we might claim what we can't possess, but to receive God's life as God gives their life to us. And so the love of God came to us, bound into that human life, imprisoned in a human death, isolated in the tomb, and yet not even that tomb was too small to contain God's love for the world. So when the narrator connects to this infinite, boundless mystery of Christ's reconciling love from inside prison, it is because Christ is there too. Christ is right there as well. And Christ is right here too. Right here in my basement, and right there, wherever this screen is that you are watching me on right now, right where you are, where I am, Christ is there within us and between us and far, far beyond us. And so I too pray that we might all be strengthened, that we might be rooted and grounded in love and able to grasp the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of Christ's love. I invite you actually to See if you can feel that. To reach out to the love that is beside and before and above and below us, even if it is not quite as tangible right where you are as it is in that beautiful sanctuary where we will gather again next week. So I'm just going to take a minute to reach to that love, to gather it into myself and to share it with you as well. So I'm just sitting here comfortably with my feet on the floor, and I reach out as far as my arms can go right where I am, and I breathe in that love, that breadth of God's love. And I gather it right here into my heart. And out in front of me, that length of Christ's love, and I breathe that in. And I gather it here into my heart. That height of God's love far, far above us. Billions of miles above us. And I gather it here into my heart. And that love deep down below us, deep into the depths of our being. And I gather it here into my heart. The breadth. The length. The height. The depth. Right here with us, far, far beyond us, between us, so that we can share that love with each other, with our neighbors, with everyone we meet. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now, a moment for mission. Our moment for mission this morning lifts up LifeServe Blood Center. Twice every year, Covenant joins with LifeServe to host a blood drive at the church. Mark your calendar for the Wednesday after next, August 4th, for a blood drive in Fellowship Hall. The COVID-19 pandemic took a huge toll on blood donation efforts, and the blood supply is just recovering. Blood donation is still critically important, and particularly right now as hospitals are busy with surgeries and with summer emergency needs. If you are eligible to donate on August 4th, please contact Lisa Albers. She can tell you more or help you schedule your appointment. Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.